Arctic, connecting people with ideas and people with capital.
Definitely. I think biometrics will become as ubiquitous in payment cards as they are in mobile phones today. It's all coming together. On the one hand...
What are we waiting for? Do you think it's like a snowball effect? Do you think it's like...
So it's definitely a snowball effect we're waiting for here to take off in mass volumes.
He is the CEO of a billion krona market cap Swedish listed biometric technology company. He formerly ran Tomra in Europe. That's a 60 billion market cap giant. Before that, he used to work for Orkla, and he used to be the CEO of Telecomputing, which used to have a very high market cap, and it's maybe coming back to the exchange in the name of Visolit soon. We'll see. He lives in Norway. He's here in the Arctic podcast studio today, but he's a lot more known among investors in Sweden. We'll talk about that. He is the CEO of Zwipe. André Løvenstam, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So let's start straight into it. Zwipe. I looked on your homepage and you say that you simplify everyday life from contactless most of the time to contactless all of the time. What do you do at Zwipe, André?
Well, you know, Zwipe is a biometric fintech company. We have been pioneering the next generation contactless payment experience for years. And the way we do that is that we provide technology for enabling biometric payment. And this means that we are effectively replacing your PIN code with your fingerprint so that you can actually tap and pay just using the finger on the sensor on the card and tap and pay on a card.
So I don't have that card functionality yet. I have lots of different credit cards, but they are chip-based and they are PIN-based. Why don't I have your fingerprint-based card yet, André?
Well, this is the next generation of innovation that there is general consensus in the market that this is going to be the next wave of innovation. You know, all the way back in 95, chip and pin was introduced, adding security. And it took about 18 years before those cards reached a billion volume per year. And then in 2007 came the next wave of innovation, which was contactless, so that you could actually just tap and pay under a transaction limit. And that, of course, added a lot of convenience. And these cards only took about 8 years before they reached a billion volume per year. And now the next generation is biometrics. And, you know, we have been waiting for several years in this industry. This has been expected. But now it's all coming together. On the
What are we waiting for?
Yeah, I mean, we have been waiting for the cost of the technology to come down. And now we are in the driver's seat with a new disruptive technology that will radically simplify the production and the technology cost of these cards. And the second thing is that the demand has skyrocketed after COVID-19.
That's been a blessing in disguise for you.
Well, I wouldn't call it a blessing, but it certainly has helped to change payment habits. And of course, you know, biometrics have been attractive in payments for a long time because they add even further convenience because you can just tap and pay both below and above the transaction limit. It also adds security because now you don't have to worry about lost and stolen cards, misuse, or even skimming where people could come, you know, with a contactless payment terminal and charge money from your card. But now on top of all that comes, you know, the fear of touching shared surfaces. More than 80% of consumers have real concerns about touching the payment terminal to enter the PIN code. So that, of course, has also increased demand radically.
But you say on your annual report that one in two would pay an additional fee of $10 or more for a biometric payment card without any additional benefits. So do you think $10, is that like a magical limit, or is that sort of the level you think that the card needs to cost for everyone, including you, to make money?
Yes, I think so. I mean, there is general industry consensus that $10 is more or less like the price inflection point in this market. meaning that this is the price level that the cards need to reach in order for biometric payment cards to take off in mass volumes. And earlier generations have been far too complex, far too technology heavy, and that has even caused the production process to be very inefficient, so to say, where you have to use low temperature and not scalable production processes. So the first generation cards cost, you know, maybe somewhere around $30 to $40.
Oh, wow.
And then now, you know, there is new generations coming on stream, which come down to $20 or less. But $10 has been clearly the consensus for market takeoff. And that's where our technology will bring the price.
There are a few cards out with fingerprint sensors today. Is it the French bank and Thales, also a French company that started?
Well, yes. I mean, they have done pilots. We have also done pilots. Okay. We have actually been featured in more than half of all the pilots that have been announced in the world, 12 out of 23 pilots. But now... BNP Paribas has announced that they're going to make these payment cards available to all their customers in all the branches, and they will charge a monthly fee of €2 per card.
So it's €24 per year.
Exactly.
to have this function on your card.
Yeah, and that, of course, illustrates that there is an extremely compelling business case for issuers, for banks. Because if you think about it, €24 per year, a card generally has a lifetime of 3 to 4 years. So there is recurring revenue, which far surpasses the cost of the card itself. So banks have an opportunity to open up new revenue streams while at the same time taking care of their customers, addressing their customer needs for convenience, addressing their concerns around security and also hygiene. So I think this is a win-win proposition for banks. And we're seeing that... you know, banks generally really acknowledge this opportunity and that the whole ecosystem is now really preparing for a market takeoff of this market of this product.
How many cards are there in the world today?
There's about 22 billion cards issued and more than 4 billion cards being issued each year.
Wow.
Almost all of them now are contactless cards. So that is our addressable market. And then the question is, you know, how big will the penetration be for biometrics in payment cards? And there are plenty of, you know, analyst reports and projections on this. UBS and Good Intelligence out of London have released new reports and projections only in the last couple of months. UBS projected 15% penetration by 2026.
And so that would be 15 of the 22?
No, 15 of the four.
Of the four.
So, okay. So that would be about, you know, 600 million cards per year in 2026.
Quite a lot.
And Good Intelligence even said 20%. And I think that's a very fair projection. I actually think that when you think even longer term, let's say by the end of this decade, I think biometrics will become as ubiquitous in payment cards as they are in mobile phones today. And that's when also the cost of the cards will even come down from $10 to maybe $5.
And if we are on this, I have a dream vision. So if there is a billion cards with biometrics, how many cards do you think Zwipe can be the main supplier of? Or what's your market share target?
Our market share target is 30%. And, you know, we have we are very well positioned to take a cost and technology leadership position because we have this disruptive single silicon technology, which offers, you know, very competitive prices and also best-in-class performance, both in terms of, you know, biometrics and energy efficiency. So, no, we're very well positioned.
I mentioned in the intro that you are more popular in Sweden than in Norway, and I looked at the numbers. So just on Bloomberg, it says that during the last year, you traded an average of about 6 million crowns worth in Sweden. You also traded on the Oslo Exchange, where there was less than a million traded each day. So that's about 300,000 shares versus about 50,000 shares per day. on Avanza, which is the main Swedish retail platform, there are 5,865 proud owners of Zwipe shares. Why do you think, André, that you are so much more popular in Sweden?
Yeah, I don't know if it's popularity, but certainly there is a difference in liquidity. And maybe this also has to do with awareness. I think that, Swedish investors are generally more knowledgeable and interested about the biometrics payment space. But I think this is a job for you and me to help, increase the awareness in Norway. Why should they miss out on this great opportunity?
We have to mention your chairman, Jørgen Lanto. He used to be the CEO of Fingerprint Cards. Mm-hmm. And I think he was the CEO when Fingerprint Cards had a market cap of 45 billion back in 2015. So can you tell a little bit just how do you work with Jørgen Lanto? What's the sort of cooperation that you and him have? How does that work?
No, it's a really good cooperation. And I think that, Jürgen brings a fantastic experience in both the semiconductor industry and in biometrics. He's also a former CTO of ST Ericsson. So,
Is that the semiconductor part of Ericsson?
Yes. So, and the mobile part. So okay. He's been working in these parts of the industry before. And so he brings a lot of technology insights. He brings a lot of industry experience. And then, of course, he has done this journey that we want to do before. And that's always a benefit as well.
Fascinating. So 17th of May was last week. So we have to touch upon the fact that you're a Norwegian CEO on the Swedish exchange. Do you have like a Norwegian club where you hang out with Kristian Sinding and Ståle Riise and Klaus Anders Nystad?
That's a good idea. We don't yet, but maybe we should.
Yeah, I mentioned this, of course, because they are, as far as I know, the only other Norwegian born or Norwegian passport holding CEOs on the Swedish stock exchange. But let me ask you, André, do you know, since the time that Zwipe was listed in Stockholm, which I believe was early last year, pre-COVID, you know who from this Norwegian CEO club has had the best stock exchange performance on the Stockholm Stock Exchange?
No, I must admit I don't.
Well, there have been a couple of good performers. So EQT with Kristian Sinding from Norway, he is up 119%, not bad. And Ståle Riise is up 13%. But your stock in the same period is up 337%. So that's quite impressive. Let's look a little bit into the news flow, it's been a very sort of news flow driven performance, I guess. It's fair to say you're not making money today.
No. So we are a pre-revenue company.
You're a pre-revenue company.
But exactly. But everyone is in this industry. I mean, that's important to point out that, biometric payments is a market that will take off, but it hasn't yet. So nobody has, sizable revenues. But we do have, medium-term goals of reaching 1 billion kroner turnover. And I think that, it's fair to say that 3 to 4 years after launch, this should be, within reach. So
let's look at the news flow. You have an impressive amount of press releases. So on the 11th of May, which is only last week, you announced a deal in Taiwan, and it says that there will be commercial deployments before the end of 2021. On the 10th of May, you launched with FSS, Canada, India, starting for pilots second half 2021. On the 7th of April, there was a French payment solutions provider, French, Belgian, Luxembourg, and Dutch markets to deliver pilots from the second half of 2021. On the 6th of April, one of India's largest payment. I mean, I could go on because I actually printed quite a lot of these press releases, André, but it sounds like you have quite a lot to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's an incredible traction. And, to start off, just to explain the value chain. So we're bringing together components bought from various suppliers, putting them together in a proprietary and really unique technology platform that we are offering to card manufacturers. Those are our direct customers. But then, they will put together the cards, laminate the cards, et cetera. And then they will sell them to perso bureaus who do the personalization. And then they are sold on to banks who issue them to consumers like you and me. And what we found out was that when in the early days we were focusing only on the card manufacturers, things moved rather slowly. So now, you know, even though we have announced, you know, collaborations with 21 out of the world's top 50 card manufacturers,
wow,
and we're engaging with more than 40 out of the 50 top card manufacturers, we're still initiating what we call a pull strategy, where we're actually addressing our customers' customers to create demand and to put more pressure on the card manufacturers. So today, we are, you know, in dialogues with more than 300 banks. We're also working with perso bureaus and processors, you know, like Nets in the Nordics, for example. FSS is Asia's largest processor, in order to create this whole ecosystem of partners. And this creates an enormous traction. And what we can see is that, you know, even the largest players in the whole ecosystem are really acknowledging our position and our offering and want to partner with us.
And these pilots, they are typically that you give out cards to a limited number of users. Is that the correct way of looking at the pilot?
Yes, the pilot is kind of a pretest of everything from consumer acceptance to logistics and backend and everything. So,
but you don't need any new infrastructure. So it's the same point of sale.
Correct.
When I go to my local 7-Eleven, or that it's the same shop.
Yes, that's a really important point you make there. You know, with the chip and pin cards, with the contactless cards, there were these needs for huge replacements of all the, you know, existing infrastructure, all the payment terminals. With biometric payment cards, they work, easily with all the existing terminals.
And do you think it's like a snowball effect? Do you think it's like when a couple of banks announce that they have these cards with the fingerprint sensor on, that you know, the neighboring banks will have to do the same? Or do you think that it's going to be like a push from the consumers that, oh, I want one of these too? What do you think is the sort of the big moment that we're waiting for? Is it all of these things happening at the same time?
Yes, absolutely. So it's definitely a snowball effect we're waiting for here. Because, you know, from the research, we see that the majority of consumers, more or less, you know, 4 out of 5 consumers say that they want their next payment card to be biometric when they've understood the concept. And you know, somewhere between 50 and 55% of consumers even say that they are willing to switch banks to get access to these cards. So this means that there will be a real dynamic that once some banks have started moving, others will need to follow.
That's fascinating. And in terms of geography, do you think that is there one country, is it going to be France or Sweden or Norway or South Korea that is typically first where everyone gets these cards? Or
yeah, I mean, we see real pockets of first movers in several areas. So first of all, of course, Europe, as you say, France, UK, the Nordics will be early movers. We also see the Middle East, where we are seeing tremendous interest and where we have actually established a local presence with a general manager for MENA, Middle East and North Africa. And then we're also seeing a lot of interest in Asia and India. So we have also established a sales representation over there. I think these are the first movers, and then we will see global adoption over time.
And then just quickly, you're not a fingerprint sensor company alone, we understand, right? You are a solutions provider, but you obviously cooperate with the sensor companies, and you have particular deep collaboration with IDEX, I understand?
Yes, we are not a fingerprint sensor company at all. We are a biometric fintech that offers the whole platform, so we can actually provide a full turnkey solution from A to Z to our customers. We are fingerprint sensor agnostic, meaning that we can actually work with one sensor or another. Of course, we need to do adaptations, but we can still work with all sensor providers.
And then who are they? Remind me. There's Fingerprint Cards, where your chairman used to work, of course. There's IDEX, where you have a collaboration. And who are the others?
Well, I mean, there are multiple smaller upcoming companies. So, for example, in Asia, we are in contact with multiple sensor providers. There's also European players. And of course, for us, a sensor is one piece in the jigsaw. It's something we need to have supplies for. So competition is good because it just reduces the cost of our total solution.
So André, we mentioned that your stock's gone up a lot. You've obviously done well in terms of news flow, and you also bought shares fairly late maybe into this rally, stock, I think, 10x up from the low points. You bought as late as the 18th of March this year, doubling pretty much your number of shares, obviously all in the public domain. You want to comment on that, André?
Well, I mean, it's not really late. I think this is right at the beginning. It's only the start of the journey because we're seeing this massive market. And Zwipe is so well positioned to take a leading role. So I think that, this is the start of the journey. And that's, I have very strong belief that Zwipe is well positioned and will do very well going forward.
Finally, you took over as CEO of Zwipe in March 2018.
Yes.
I read from your LinkedIn profile. And the company was founded way back as in 2009 by a guy called Kim Humbustad. Now, I have to ask you, André, how did you first hear about Zwipe?
That was actually through Arctic Securities.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Arctic, connecting people with ideas and people with capital.
Definitely. Yes.
So you this came across as it was pitched to you as an idea?
It was pitched all the way back in 2014. And I really fell in love with the promise of, providing added security, added convenience in the payment experience. And of course, already then, Zwipe was a pioneer in this field and has led the development with the first proof of concepts, the first real demos of biometric transactions, and now coming with the first disruptive single silicon solution.
Fascinating. So we're going to end here. André, thank you so much. Just quickly, when the pandemic finally ends, we're getting towards the end of the pandemic, but where do you look most forward to go on that first official business trip that will be completely legal? Will you go, you mentioned the Middle East, you mentioned Asia, or are you just looking forward to go back and forth between Oslo and Stockholm?
Well, that's a headache because I need to be everywhere now.
Exactly.
There are so many people, so many new partners, so many new employees. I need to meet them all. But I think that, the Middle East is probably a good bet. I haven't been much down there, and we have so many partners and interesting processes going on. So that will surely be one of the first one. And also to meet my general manager for MENA.
Excellent. Thank you so much, André. And we thank you, the listeners of the Arctic Podcast. We'll be back next week with another exciting guest. And best of luck, André and Zwipe.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
This podcast has been prepared by Arctic for information purposes only. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered professional advice. The information provided in this podcast is not intended to constitute investment advice, nor is the information intended as an offer or solicitation for the purchase or sale of any financial instrument. Relevant and specific professional advice should always be obtained before making any investment or credit decision. It is important to note that past performance is not indicative of future results. This podcast does not fulfill the criteria for preparing investment research and must be seen as marketing material. All information submitted during this podcast is obtained from public sources that Arctic believes to be reliable, but which Arctic has not independently verified. Arctic makes no guarantee, representation, or warranty as to its accuracy or completeness. No liability whatsoever is accepted for any direct or indirect, including consequential, loss or expense arising from the use of information from this podcast.